In the name of Jesus, amen. The reading from 1 Peter is the basis for our sermon on this Lord's Day. One of the reasons that Christians read, follow, hear, meditate, think about God's Word is that it helps us see things as they really are. Because things are not always as they appear. Satan is the father of lies. We are bombarded by lies all the time. We are surrounded by lies, and we often believe the lies. And God's Word helps kind of cut through all of that. I'll give you an example. The world would tell us that people are basically good. That's kind of what you're taught in school. People are good. You know, of course, there's a few bad eggs out there, and there's some people who go right when they should go left or vice versa, but people are basically good. It's not what God's Word says. God's Word says just the opposite. God's Word says, no, we are all natural-born sinners. Sin comes natural for us, not goodness. We have to learn to be good. And that actually explains a lot more than the idea of people being inherently good. So God's Word helps us see, hear, believe how things really are, and it gives us something solid to hold on to, something that is true. And the church itself is an object lesson of that. The church doesn't look very impressive. It just doesn't. The church looks kind of weak. Nobody's calling up the church saying, hey, could you give us your opinion on whatever the latest issue happens to be? Yeah, you know, people just kind of disregard the church. Church kind of bumps along. You know, we have meetings, we have budgets, so we're always trying to get volunteers to do things. And as the saying goes, you know, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And that's true for all churches. It's true for a lot of volunteer organizations. It's just the way it goes. The church in general just does not look very impressive. And folks sometimes get discouraged by that. But God's Word says, whoever believes in Jesus will not be put to shame. In other words, Jesus will hold it together. Jesus keeps you now and forever. And he does because Jesus is Lord, but you know it doesn't always look that way. Church is open, church is closed, and they kind of just bump along in a rickety way. And therein lies the challenge. We are called to faith not by what we see, but by what God's Word teaches and tells us, and that is something solid. We have two letters in the New Testament written by Peter. And he wrote to Christians who had been dispersed, most likely because of persecution. It seems that they had been driven from their homes because they wouldn't give up their faith in Jesus. So if you can imagine, you know, a trade-off of staying in your house and giving up your faith, or nope, holding to your faith, and yeah, then having to leave. It appears these people were driven to various regions and areas because of their faith in Christ. And so they were being persecuted, and they were scattered. They were essentially refugees. And yet, Peter, in this first letter, he says, you're a holy nation. You are a people chosen by God. You are a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. And they might have read that and like, I think we got the wrong letter, because we're scattered all over the place and we don't look very impressive. We certainly don't look like a holy nation, but things are not always the way they appear. Peter, who wrote to these people himself, would be an object lesson of this. You know, Peter was the foremost of the apostles. He followed Jesus, he walked on water, he witnessed Jesus feeding the 5,000, he spent time with the resurrected Jesus, and he even did some miracles in the name of Jesus, and yet his life ended as a martyr. He was killed for being a follower of Jesus, and tradition says he was crucified upside down. That doesn't sound like a very impressive ending. And that's the story of God's Word. If you're looking for outward success and security, the visible church is very disappointing because it typically doesn't hold together very well. It does okay for a while here and there, but then it doesn't, and that can be troubling. To our troubled hearts, Jesus speaks. And Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And Jesus says that on the night before everything's going to fall apart. On Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, Jesus tells the disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled." In a few hours, he's going to be betrayed and arrested. And the next day, Jesus is going to be beaten and crucified. And he knows all of that. And yet, before that happens, when it's going to seem like everything is falling apart, Jesus tells the disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." If you think believing in Jesus is going to make your life better, suddenly, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And if we think that way, that can actually kind of mess us up. Because then we can think, "Oh, I guess God doesn't care about my troubles. He's not big enough to help me in my troubles." Or we might think, "I don't have enough faith, or my troubles would be gone." That's very different from believing that Jesus is with you in the midst of your troubles. Jesus cannot be measured by your troubled heart, because Jesus is for your troubled heart. And that matters, because the only time my heart is not troubled is when it doesn't have reason to be. You know, "Lord, I'll stop worrying when you stop giving me things to worry about, Lord." If faith and inner peace were the same thing, then only the people who have faith are the ones who would need nothing from God, because they already have everything if they have that inner peace, which just doesn't make any sense. It's kind of like that whole genre of self-help books. Really doesn't make sense, because if I could help myself, then I wouldn't need help. Just doesn't hold together. So following Jesus is not about someday getting your troubles to disappear. Because in all of that, our troubled hearts miss the point. It's not about what or how or when or where. It's about who. It's about who is your God in the midst of your troubles. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God, holy and precious in his sight. The stone that causes people to stumble and causes offense, but is the chosen cornerstone. Our hearts become troubled when we measure God in power and not in mercy. When we think, "Well, you know, God's job is to fix all of my troubles," and then we're trying to make God do something he's not said he's going to do. Rather, God tells us he's a God of mercy who comes for troubled people. A God who has mercy on sinners and who dies for us. So Jesus is not the God of fixing all your problems so you don't need him anymore. Rather, he's the God who's with you in your troubles, no matter how big or how small they might be, because of his love for you. That's the kind of God that we have. And so he's with us even in the midst and in the face of our troubles. You see, weaknesses, that's right up God's alley. That's where he does his best work. He says, "My grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness." And that's the kind of God we have, who works despite our troubles. In fact, goes with us in the midst of them. And so we know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that means that your problems, your troubles, your sins cannot separate you from the love of the Father. And even when your body is in the grave and you can't get any weaker than being dead, Jesus has got you covered. Because weakness is just his best area to work. And the day will come when he raises us from our graves. Remember who your God is. Not someday, but today. Because you are baptized into his holy and precious name. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we sit at his feet and we listen to his word, which helps keep things in the proper perspective. That's why Peter reminded his readers, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And that pure spiritual milk is the word of God. And that word of God teaches us that no matter how scattered or how isolated or how alone we might find ourselves, we are living stones. We are being built into Christ, who is the chief cornerstone, by his grace and by his mercy. Thanks be to God. So don't be discouraged by how things look, but hear and listen to the voice of your good shepherd who calls you and puts you into his flock, into his kingdom, and who guards and keeps you no matter what's happening around you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory.